This is an extemporaneous Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website mbeinstitute.org. This prayer treatment will address plank number 16 of the 32 planks, the text of which begins on page 330 and extends through 340. The page numbers refer to the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. The complete prose will be read, followed by the prose broken down by key points in an itemized list. The topic of plank number 16 is eternality of the Christ. The word eternality tells us all we need to know about the belief of time. And it is false. There is no time. Otherwise, eternity would be an invalid term. What is invalid is the false belief that time is real, that what we think we see and measure between a beginning and an end, which are theoretical, is time. But if we realize that there is no beginning and no end to truth, and that's with a capital T, then there is no in-between, and therefore there is nothing to measure for time. The prose states the following. This was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Slain, that is, according to the testimony of the corporeal senses, but undying in the deific mind, and that's a capital M, mind for God. The Revelator represents the Son of Man as saying, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, not understood. And behold, I am alive for evermore. Science has explained me. This is the mystical statement of the eternity of the Christ, and is also a reference to the human sense of Jesus crucified. Following is a numbered list broken down by each of the key points, utilizing the original text. 1. This was, quote, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, end of quote. Slain. That is, according to the testimony of the corporeal senses, but undying in the deific mind. There are four operators in the system of divine metaphysics, and the word represents the facts about God. The Christ is the translation from whatever we are viewing in visible form, and is representing a deviation from truth, then the Christ translates what we think we are seeing back to the original source. And of course, that is God. God is the only source. God is the only reality. So if we view anything that is discordant, then we need to do the same thing that Jesus did, and that was to flip it and see the perfection. In other words, convert from looking at a mortal with problems and transition thought to the real spiritual man that is free of any kind of mortal restrictions, but is in the infinitude of God. Everything being possible, because God is in control of everything. We have to open our thought. We must be receptive. We must claim the truth as ours to reflect. And we need to stick on that path without deviation. This is really what the second operator provides. That we shall translate anything we see that is discordant the same way that Jesus did, and that is to see the perfect whatever, whether it was a perfect man or a circumstance. It was important that we wanted to make sure there was no fake interruption of the progress to try to stop it. The third operator is demonstration. So we utilize the facts about God. We utilize understanding that we must translate whatever we face into its true spiritual nature. And if it's pure evil, then we just flip it. And we will run across evil all the time. A little speck here and a little speck there. But we cannot ignore it. We need to address it at the time that it comes to thought, and eradicate it there and then. Far more superior method than what has been described in a few words. To review how the system of divine metaphysics works. Number one, we contemplate the facts about God that are directly addressing whatever the problem is. Number two, we have to separate whatever the evil appears to be from any personality. If we don't do this, we go into the dark ages. The most intense and longest in duration in our lifetimes. Now the third step, Christianity, means that we need to prove that we know what we're doing. And if we do, just like utilizing the mathematical tables, we will come up with the correct result. The system of divine metaphysics explains how it operates. It includes a structure, which is divine principle, and mind provides the system. So that within the structure, we are operating harmoniously and in balance. One must use the intelligence of mind by reflection to apply the system to the structure of divine principle. So they all work together in a matrix, and the qualities of each of the seven interact with all the other qualities. And mind gives us the intelligence that we can reflect in order to see how it all works and connect the dots. So that no matter what we are facing, we have the tools to be able to see the truth about it instead of being inundated and overcome, overwhelmed by what the senses that are so-called material senses try to do to spark activation by something that is fake. such as emotion. Fredrik L. Rossen had the correct sense of time. First of all, he states that in the UK, and that's where he's based, he said they used to teach that there is no time. In serious contemplation about that, he realized, well, anything that's true is always true. It's not true now and false later, or vice versa. So he accepted the fact that they used to teach that and then did some research to figure out how it works. And he said, if there is no time, then I should be able to go back when any problem was made known to a patient and to be able to heal it from that moment and have it effective forward. And so he did. And he did it 500 times that he relates to us in his writings. He was the author of a book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And there's a chapter called Applied Treatment. And following along what Mary Baker Eddy says, and that is that we need to dig down and find the supposed cause of the problem. And we have to find that anything that is a problem can't be real, because divine principle is always in balance. It's not chaotic. It's always harmonious. And that's what we need to see about everyone and everything, and we start with our own consciousness. Jesus saw the perfect man, no matter what the mortal picture was. And that's what we need to do. The second quote at the beginning of Science and Health is from Shakespeare, which says, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We have to make sure our thinking is from a spiritual basis. We need to let God be the knowing in our own consciousness. And since God is infinite, there is nothing that is overlooked in the infinitude of perfection. We want to take advantage of that fact. For example, any good quality of God cannot come to a termination. Joy, happiness, very important to express. And if we don't seem to be joyful, we can refresh our thought by reminding ourselves that joy is innate in every one of God's ideas. We know that God is spirit, and spirit is flawless because it's the opposite of matter, which is full of flaws. And because it is flawless, it is transparent. Because it's transparent, it is reflective. Therefore, we reflect out into the universe of thought perfect ideas that we are reminding ourselves of, and we actually multiply those by utilizing them. They don't wear out. They further sprinkle their goodness throughout all humanity. Here are some thoughts from John L. Stanton. He says, the text now takes up the Revelator's standpoint to interpret further the eternity of the Christ. The resistance to the Christ from the foundation of the world meaning a material viewpoint, begins with the mist. And we brought that up in our prayer treatments continuously. And that's from Genesis chapter 2, verse 6. When it says there went up a mist, that is the clue that anything that follows that is not going to be the truth about anything, but it's going to be a cloudy fog, which is confusion instead of clarity. The whole Adam dream and the interaction between Adam and Eve is all in a fog, all in a mist. We're not fish, so we cannot see clearly in a mist. I've experienced fog so thick you couldn't see your hand if you held it very close to your face. It further says, Christ Jesus both teaches and demonstrates the eternity of the Christ and the nothingness of its inversion. The Revelator puts this on everlasting record. Science, in the fullness of time, explains and interprets the mystery and solves the enigma. Einstein reminds us that curiosity has its own reason for existing, and we should never stop questioning. The first quote at the beginning of Science and Health states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So we have to keep questioning until we're sure that we have discovered the truth and that we have exposed any evil, making sure that we separate the evil from what appears to be an evil doer, so that we see man perfect and evil as nothing and without any power unless it has a body to use. So we do not want to attach it to a body, a person, giving it personality. We want to strip it of any possibility of it being able to control in one's thought anything or anyone. And unless it is given a physical body, it can do nothing. It has no power to do anything, no power to influence on its own. Since man is made in the image and likeness of God, and since everything about God is one only and all, because it's omni, therefore the mind of God is omni, therefore the mind of God is the mind of man. Let's see what Mary Baker Eddy tells us about mind. In the chapter entitled Recapitulation, on page 469, she says, mind is God. The exterminator of error is the great truth that God good is the only mind, and that the supposititious opposite of infinite mind, called devil or evil, is not mind, is not truth, but error, without intelligence or reality. And in the glossary on page 591, she states, mind, the only I or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God, not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God, of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines but is not outlined. When she states that man is the full expression of mind, wow! Look at the capacity of the mind of God, and we have the opportunity to reflect that without limit. Our only limit as to how much we reflect of anything that is God is our own perspective. Are we going to think about spirit being flawless? Are we going to think about the definition of God on page 465, where she says God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind? Incorporeal. No limitation. It's not a brain. Man is not made up of brain, blood, bones, or any other material element. Man is the reflection, the image and likeness of God. We need to claim that. We need to contemplate that. We need to let that be our model in our consciousness of what we are as a reflection, an individual manifestation of man. We have to realize that God is the only source, and the source includes its manifestation. Otherwise, it's not a source. Otherwise, a manifestation could not exist. A manifestation must have a source, and a source must have a manifestation. And nothing can be in between them. It's a direct connection. And the more clear our understanding is of this kind of reasoning, the more we will be able to demonstrate, and we will be able to demonstrate more because we will have a better understanding of the facts, which is the Word of God. We'll have a better understanding of the Christ, which is the consciousness that enables us to translate whatever we see that is unfavorable to the real true spiritual facts. And we won't deviate from that. We will be tenacious in our view. We'll persevere. And like Mary Baker Eddy says, continue in your perseverance until the healing becomes obvious. We want to see and experience science in the fullness of time by getting rid of time, getting rid of the false belief that time can limit anything because it's a false concept. It's as false as thinking that 2 plus 3 equals 7 instead of 5. What do? We replace the 2 plus 3 equals 7 with the truth that 2 plus 3 equals 5. And we do the same thing in the system of divine metaphysics. We replace any error, any mistake, with truth. And we dwell on that. Mary Baker Eddy provided 7 prayers to her most advanced class in the College of Divine Metaphysics, which came to the summit in 1898. That was her final class, and everybody that attended that class were individually invited by Mary Baker Eddy. So she selected the most advanced students. And to tell you a clue about how advanced they were, after 3 days, she gave them a task of going out and finding a need that needed to be met and heal it and come back the next day to class and report it. Today's prayer treatment on the eternity of the Christ is an emphasis on life, because as Mary Baker Eddy explains, life is eternal. Therefore, I shall recite the Diapason of Heaven, which is the title she gave to each of the 7 prayers, and this will be the one that is a focus on life. and that will conclude this extemporaneous prayer treatment on plank number 16 of 32, which is the title of Eternity of the Christ. Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy, with a focus on life. Life is holy. We must hallow this word, for it is a sacred name for God. Declare often, there is only one life, and that is God. There is no personal life. My life is God, an infinite, incorporeal, all-encompassing, all-present, all-active, everlasting life. Declare that God good is the only life of man and the universe. Life is divine. Divine life is my God, and my God is life. Life is enthroned in my consciousness. This is the Word of God. Declare all the truths you know about life. Claim this revealed life as yours. All of life is right where you are right now. Amen. Today is December 31, 2025, and it is 15:34, the time in the afternoon, and this is the end of the thoughts on plank number 16, entitled Eternity of the Christ. Thank you for listening. The end.